You want me to keep it real with you? It's called Legendary Monday here on the program. Because anytime you bring Coach Majors on, after we have the spring game, the orange and white game, I bow my head when I say thy name. And Coach Majors now joins me on the program. Johnny Majors, college football royalty. Coach, how you doing?
Oh, Tony, you can't bow your head now. I don't want you to get a crick in your neck.
No, man. Every time, Coach, I bow my head.
But listen, Tony, it's a fabulous day. Gosh, we've had some great, we've had a lot of rain, but look how beautiful and green it is here in East Tennessee. And I'm sitting here drinking a cup of coffee. I'm just finished the sport page and read the paper, and then I got to get busy and do a few things that are worthwhile. I catch up on a lot of paperwork and make some phone calls and go do some exercising today and hitting a few golf balls. I got to get ready for the Pebble Beach Coaches Classic, which is a three-day tournament out in Pebble Beach on Memorial Day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, playing Cypress Point. Playing Spanish Bay and Spyglass Hill and Pebble Beach. And I go every year, but I haven't played golf in 6 months, and I've hit three golf balls three times since I had my hip replacement 6 weeks ago today. I'm doing great with my hip, feeling good this morning, drinking a little cup of coffee and watching this beautiful breeze blow through my trees out here on the Tennessee River. Now, I'll quit shooting the breeze here and boring these people out there. They don't.
No, they love you.
They want to talk football. And
no, Johnny, listen, John, Coach, open the phone book, start the letter A, and read it to me. When you're talking, we love it, man.
I like to talk football. I guess I like a little attention, but I've always considered myself more modest and egotistical, but some people may think differently. I tell people I get my modesty from my father, who's a very modest, proud, and intelligent man, a great coach. Fortunately, I grew up on his knee and followed him everywhere. He went to the pool room, the barber shop when he was barbering and coaching football, and as soon as school was out, my brothers and I, we had and our sister had a great mother and father, and I said I get my immodesty from my mother's. She wasn't afraid to talk about her family and positive moods, but I'm in a middle of the road route today. I can talk about a little whatever you want to, except I can't talk about aeronautical engineering like our quarterback Dobbs can. You better talk to him. You ought to know somebody that knows more about mathematics than I do in science.
But, you know, it's funny you bring him up because it jumped off the page to me. You get a real good look at him on Saturday, but it jumps off the page at me how much bigger he is, how much more in control he is. You know, people discount that coach. You know, in recruiting today, they want to see all the kids play and play right away.
A little louder. What's the last thing you said?
I said in recruiting today, people want to see the kids play. They want to see them play right away. Everybody wants instant gratification, right? So you bring these freshmen in, and they're highly touted. Look at how much this kid has grown in two years in this program.
I tell you what, he was ready to play last year. But, as you know, and the people who know me, and if anything they ever read about what I say, I have tremendous confidence in Butch Jones and his staff. And I said from the beginning, before I ever saw him practice on the field, I said, I think he'll get it done by watching his comments or watching him talk on television. And then when I saw them practice, I was very convinced that they could win here and would win. And then when they started recruiting and had such great recruiting success the first year, and it was included, it's continued since that time, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. That was a saying I had with our squad forever and ever. They know that quote. If you can say you're going to beat, the heck out of Georgia, yeah, but you better back it up because I'm going to be after you on Monday that you didn't get it done.
There you go.
Don't be talking a big game. Let's just go out and play and we can enjoy it afterwards, but don't ever brag afterwards. But I say what I mean. I mean what I say. If Dobbs had been the quarterback earlier, they said that they were talking, and I'm nearly not second guessing, but they were talking about if he wasn't as great a practice player or he wasn't doing that well in practice. there are some people who are gamers and will do better in game situations and will come to the front than they look sometimes in practice, even though you must practice hard and you must execute and you must work very diligently and with a continuous effort and concentration to try to get better every minute you're on that practice field. So nobody can loaf and be a game player. That's not what I'm saying. But example, I called plays in the huddle when I was a player. We had no signal system and no free substitution. And I called plays from the press box for Coach Frank Brawls when I coached offense, even though I coached defensive backs more than I did coached offense in college. But they talk about the read option. We had no read option last year until Dobbs got in there. It was strictly the quarterback basically gave the ball to the back. Read option is when you come down the line of scrimmage with a quarterback, and he reads the end man that you're going to try to option. The right, if you run to the right guard and right tackle will be blocking solid. They'll be blocking solid to seal down any lineman or linebacker inside of them, and it will let the end go. Quarterback comes down the line with one back in the backfield. If that end who's not being blocked closes on the quarterback, the quarterback keeps the ball, and the dive back hits up in there where the end is closing. If the quarterback comes down the line and the end comes upfield to take the back, if they pitch to him, the quarterback keeps the, If the end goes upfield, then you give to the dive back because there's a little seam there, or a big seam, or a little seam between outside the right tackle who's blocking down, and there's nobody outside. The quarterback, if the defensive end closes down on the dive back, the quarterback keeps the ball. He keeps the ball because there's nobody to pitch to. But last year against Florida, we shut them down. Florida yep. wasn't very good.
Yep.
We shut them down. And we ran the dive option. There were several times, I was in the press box, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 or 6 times, when the dive back hit up in there, the quarterback gave it to him, and the end closed in, and he was stuffed. It wasn't any option. If the quarterback had kept that ball, he could have made 5 yards no faster than those two backup quarterbacks were. The starter and I admire and respect both of them with their efforts. But both of them, the starter and the backup, neither one were outstanding runners. But if they'd have kept the ball when they closed on the dive back, they would have made 5 yards. If you make 5 yards in two plays, you're going to make a first down. They're not going to break a 35-yarder like Dobbs can. They're not going to maybe break one for 65, what Dobbs has the capability to do. We didn't have a dive option, but the quarterback should have kept the ball when he had a chance, and he should have been critiqued on that. When the press box, keep the ball, we'll make 5 yards. Ended up losing the game 10-9, and against Georgia, on our own 1 yard line, we ran I'm pretty sure it's a dive option. Read option on a 1 yard line with a freshman running back who's going to be really good.
Yep.
He's going to be outstanding. And the backup quarterback, Peterman, he hadn't had that much experience, and they fumbled the ball for a gift touchdown right in the end zone, just dropped it there. And that's the time to call it a straight dive or not run an option with two new people in the game. And occasionally you need a lead back to lead another back up in there when you're on your 1 yard line and run a quarterback sneak. But that's not a place to run a dive option. But I know they've got a new quarterback coach, a new offensive coordinator who's been out of football for a while. We'll see how he adapts to that. But this year they've got Dobbs, and I'll tell you something else they've got. In my opinion, they've got two freshmen that came in here at midterm. I don't know exactly what date they reported, but Dormady and Jennings both are threats. They're both impressive running, and they both have an impressive arm on them. So we're going to have some depth at quarterback, even though those young two are rather young and no experience. they have some ability that are really good, and they're going to be good quarterbacks themselves, in my opinion. So we ought to be able to run the dive off the read option more effectively this year. But there were a couple of times that quarterback should have run it a few more times. And if he only makes 3 or 5 yards, you're not going to be stuffed for no gain like we were so often last year. But we're going to be a lot better, without question, as a football team. And I think we can have the ability to contend for the Eastern Championship, because the East has been weaker the last year or two than it's been since we've split the conference East and West and went to how many teams do we have now? 14.
14. Too many. 14.
14. Until we went to even 12 the first time when we split it back, I guess, in 1992. That's been the weakest the East has been, and I don't think it's going to be powerful this year. We've got a chance to contend because we're going to be a lot better. We have a really good defense coming back. I think we have like 18 starters out of 22, and we'll be better. We'll be better at quarterback. We'll have more option ability, and the placement kicker kicked a 56-yarder Saturday for a field goal. And it just looked
incredible.
We've got a second year for the defense, for the offensive line, and I think the offensive line needs to perform better than what it's been performing. And last year, I understand they were very young, and they didn't have a lot of experience, and they were kind of green behind the ears or whatever. And the year before, though, they had all that veteran talent, but they didn't really knock people too far off the ball. I'm hoping that was that the offensive line will knock some people off the ball and protect our passer, and we're going to have a better team any way you look at it.
Blessed by the presence of Johnny Majors today, we're breaking down the aftermath of spring game, spring practice. Coach Majors was over there a bunch. Okay. He's got a great relationship with these folks, and he enjoys holding court, as he should, from time to time as he goes. Coach, let me ask you something. Would you affect a change for me? And I like these guys. Listen, I tell people about Butch Jones. If we leave him alone and don't get crazy with the expectations, okay, just leave him alone, because the team's got to learn how to win. And you were in this spot a couple times. Team's got to learn how to win. It's a different deal. You got the ingredients. It's time to bake the cake. Well, it's a lot harder than that. You got kids that haven't won before. So let me ask you something. I need you to affect a change for me. On offense, when they get down there around the goal line, why won't these guys with these new offenses, which are really kind of old offenses, I mean, all things come around in circles, and we've talked about that before, but why not use a fullback on the goal line?
I think it would have been a good idea to have a fullback on our own 1-yard line against Georgia last year, but I don't hold court with the football staff, because I don't stick my nose in. I'm very supportive, but I have a firm belief that I've already covered what I thought. Quarterback could have kept the ball more against Florida, and we'd have beaten them, in my opinion.
But it's not just.
They have a fullback combined. I guess you call it a hybrid fullback and tight end. He combines. He does one or both. And there's a time for two backs in the backfield without a question, and they can do what they want to. Because one good thing about the spread offense and the read is when you spread out, you've got your defensive people spread out too, so you've got a little more air to run through at different times. But it's good to have a two-back offense without question at certain times to make a foot or to make a yard line up. And if you've got an offensive line who'll come off of that blame ball, you've got a better chance to make a yard or foot sometimes. And you can line up there maybe with a two-back offense, and all of a sudden run, and they might run in there, and the defense may run in there when they see you throw the fullback in there, and they may run in their goal line defense or the short yardage defense, but all of a sudden you may shift and run, put the fullback out as a flanker, and you're back to where you got your one back spread offense and they've got their short yardage defense, you might open up a few holes. But that's just a coach who hasn't been coaching for a few years. But yeah, I think it's a place for it. But they got to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they're going to do what they're going to do. And I'm not going to give them any free advice because it's none of my business.
But they won't do it.
That's up to them.
Well,
I'm not going to say that they should, but if I were coaching, I would. But that doesn't mean I'm always right. You understand?
Well, I am. Because I'm undefeated. Of course, I've never won anything either. We have a, by the way, we're visiting with Johnny Majors today on the show. And when I say I've never won anything, Coach, literally, I've never won anything. That makes me qualified to talk about it. So let's talk about back in your day when you were coaching, and you guys ran some of the read option stuff with a young Heath Schuler. How is that different from what they're doing in this offense, or is it different?
Well, Nate, I don't know but the in-depth knowledge of that, but I think what the read option is today has virtually every similarity as a split back veer did or the wishbone, but you got different backs. And the read option, unless you got one back, the quarterback and one back. I love the veer option. That's probably the most fun I ever had coaching offense. When we had Tony Dorsett and another guy named Elliot Walker was a year behind him, and Dorsett got hurt. His only game he missed against Temple, and he had scored four touchdowns and broken the all-time Pitt record as a freshman, scoring one game. Elliot Walker took his place. He was a freshman and from Miami, Florida, and he was the backup tailback. Dorsett was a sophomore, and Reddit Walker scored four touchdowns, and we were in the I formation and split backs. We ran options, but we didn't run the veer option, which was a read option. So after the end of that year, I said, heck, Elliot Walker's a great back. He ended up being the second all-time rushing leader career-wise to Dorsett when Dorsett graduated. So the year that Dorsett was a junior and Walker was a sophomore, I went to the split back veer. We had split backs. The fullback Walker was the fullback behind the right tackle, and Dorsett was the split back halfback behind the left tackle. If we went, that's in right formation. If we went left formation, Walker was on the left side, Dorsett was on the right side. And one of the most exciting things, I sent the staff down and I went down with them to Houston, Texas, and spent 3 days studying the veer option with Bill Yeoman, who really is the father of the option at Houston. We spent 3 days, and the third thing I was concerned about reading the option, you've got three reads if you have the veer option with two backs. In the read option with one back, spread offense like today, you have only one option. Quarterback either gives as you come down the line, or he either gives to the dive back, or he keeps it outside the end. In the veer option, we had a flanker out wide right, we had a split end out wide left, and the tight end on the side of the flanker. So we had a guard, tackle, and a tight end. We blocked down with the tackle and everybody's zone block. They just zone block, and the right tight end released outside in the short vertical movement and left the end alone. We had a dive back. Walker, the fullback, would dive right toward that tackle that was blocking down. And as the end came upfield, we gave the ball to Walker on the dive. And when he dived and the end closed and the tackle closed down on Walker, the quarterback kept the ball down the line toward the end who'd been left unblocked because the tight end released on a little vertical pass pattern. But, okay. When the tackle went down, we didn't give the ball to Walker. If the tackle came upfield, we gave the ball to Walker because we had it sealed off. Our right tackle and right guard are zoning down on the linebacker and tackle. They're not blocking a tackle. But if he closes down with our right tackle, we keep the ball and go to the end. If the right tackle were to come upfield, we'd give the dive to Walker. Now, the tackle closes. We can't give the ball to Walker. And the end is there unblocked. If the end comes to the quarterback pitches it to Dorsett, who's trailing as a pitch man. If the end goes upfield to take Dorsett on the pitch, the quarterback keeps. And also, out of that, that's quarterback either gives to the dieback, that's one option. Or if he gives, or he keeps it himself, that's two options. Or he pitches, it's three. So you've got a two-back offense, you have three options to do those three things. With a one-back offense, you've only got one option to either give to the dieback or take it out if the end closes on the dieback. And the Wishbone had a full house backfield. They had three people, but they still had the same theory. Give to the fullback up the middle. If the tackle closes in, if the tackle comes upfield, you give the ball to the fullback. The tackle closes down, the quarterback keeps it and goes to the end. If the end takes the quarterback pitches it. And they had a lead blocker with four backs in the backfield, and the Wishbone had a lead blocker to go down and block a linebacker or a defensive back. So they all three have the same theory, except you got one back with a spread offense. You got two, one deep back and a quarterback. With two with a split back beer, you had split backs with a quarterback. That's two backs in the backfield behind the quarterback. The beer had three. You had a quarterback, and then you had a fullback right behind him about 3 yards, and you had two halfbacks behind each tackle, a little bit deeper than the fullback. So they all three have great assets, and if I were coaching today, I'd be coaching this spread offense.
Wow.
Deep and wide, because going back to my day of playing, we never split anybody. We had two guards, two tackles, two ends, all in the line of scrimmage with a wing back, one yard and 1 yard back. He's 1 yard outside the strong end and 1 yard back to backfield. You, a lot of times you made a 65-yard run, you'd have to make four or five people miss you in the linebacker area if you ran off tackle. And now those quarterbacks like that Mariotto, or whatever his name is, at Oregon, or Dobbs, you've got three or four wide receivers spread out real wide, and you've got the defensive backs out there turning their backs to the ball in the backfield, running man-to-man on these people downfield. When Dobbs, or a quarterback, or Mariotto, whatever his name was at Oregon, when they break the line of scrimmage, or they give the ball to the back, you don't have six or seven people converging on you in tight formation like we have when I was playing. You've only got to dodge two or three people,
yep,
and a good open field runner, you've got a lot of space to run in. So I'd definitely be running the read option. And I've never had a player in my life that played quarterback that couldn't run a decent option. Jeff Francis was not speedy, but we played Boston College here in a close game when Jeff was a junior or senior. We had third and 24. Third and 24 going toward the north end zone. We called the reverse dive option. Third and 25. And we dived, that Jeff took the ball and we faked to the fullback, and Jeff reversed and came to his left, and the tailback was back where he could be pitched to. The end came upfield, the tailback, Jeff Francis, who probably ran about a 5 flat. He wasn't speedy, he wasn't a great runner, but he's smart and he can run decently. He turned upfield and reversed his field, went back right toward the Boston College bench on the east side. He made 25 yards on third and 24 on a keep option. Kavanaugh, who we won the national championship at Pittsburgh, was not a great runner, but he was a decent runner. He could run the option, but he also was a wonderful thrower. So I've never had what Pepper Rogers, who was a great Wishbone coach at UCLA and Georgia Tech. He said, Johnny, when you use a Wishbone, you don't recruit any dirt kicking quarterbacks. I said, what's a dirt quick? And he said, you can make a defensive halfback who's a good athlete become a Wishbone quarterback.
Yep.
Because you've got to be smart and quick and can run. You don't have to be a great thrower because you're going to suck up everybody from the secondary a lot by just running and running and running. He said, and he got up from the table. We were sitting there. We'd had a cocktail and having dinner when he came to watch us practice after he'd gotten fired. And we were good buddies. And he gets up from the table and he gets like a quarterback stance and he takes about 5 steps back and he throws like he's throwing a football. And then and then he kicks the floor. That means it's a slow-footed quarterback when he can't complete a pass, he's not quick enough to run the football. Yep. So that may be a little corny.
No, it's great. Well, here's the thing. Jeff Francis, do you know how good of a call that has to be for you to have like a 3rd and 25? How wide open does it have to be for Jeff Francis to get 26 yards on somebody?
Well, we had a flanker. We might have three wides out, but a lot of times we were one of the first teams in the country to use three wide receivers. When we had Willie Gault, Mike Wilson, and Mike Miller and Darrell Wilson, all three world-class sprinters and all three in the same class in 1980, 81, 82, 83, we used the three wide receiver set. We did that. We probably were in a three wide receiver set and had everybody spread out, and they might have been playing the man to man and running downfield, chasing those receivers, and Jeff Francis breaks up the middle, and the fake maybe it stopped, if it fooled the linebacker. He breaks up inside the end. He's got all that wide open space in the middle, so it goes. I never was really smart enough as a player or coach to know what to call on 3rd and 24, 25, so we ran the option, which is not kind of unusual on long yardage, but it worked. And we called a quick kick on Alabama on 3rd and 24 down there when we beat them, Johnny Jones, 66-yard touchdown run in the last 3 or 4 minutes. And we ran the same counter option with Tony Robinson Alan Cockrell. But we quick kicked the ball about 65 yards, and the only time we stopped Alabama, ended up went into the ball game. I always had a quick kick, and I always had an option.
Coach, I absolutely love you. I treasure you. It's been unbelievable spending a few minutes with you. And you know what? I want to end this the way you started it, because it's funny. You and I were on the same wavelength. I was pouring myself a cup of coffee before coming down here today to do the program. And I've got to tell you, Coach, that I looked out the window and I thought, man, it is so good to have a nice, beautiful, sunny day. And not only that, it's a beautiful day. It's not smoking hot out there, so you can go do whatever you want to do. What a great day to pour a cup of coffee, enjoy a sunny day, enjoy some time among friends like we just did here. What a blessing that is, just to be alive today. And there's something really special about this place. As our football program that's been dead for a long time is getting ready to come back to life. You know, it's the season of renewal, and you can feel it in the air. We're getting ready to come back to life here, Coach, and that is a really special and fun thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I apologize for rambling a little bit, but I like to talk football, but it is a special day, I'm telling you. You've already covered that, so I can't top what you just said. And it's great to be alive and have a lot of things to look forward to. And the Tennessee fans, I never have used the word fans very much, and I never use the word Vols. The Tennessee, there's always the Volunteers when I talk. The Volunteers, you have to have Vols for shortening with all the newspapers. And that's why they did it years and years ago. I could probably be a little briefer in my replies, but I get on talking on the subject. I like to talk about football and the veer option and the wishbone and the read option, which we have now. We've got some really good defensive backs too, and we're going to have, I'd say, one of the best receiving corps. I don't know about what's happened to or will happen to the young man that's just been arrested, but we're going to have one of the best receiving corps since we had people like Willie Gault and the other two I mentioned, Darrell Wilson and Mike Miller, and also when we had Carl Pickens and Anthony Miller and Alvin Harper in three wide sets, and we won the Cotton Bowl and beat Arkansas. So there's a lot to look forward to. We're going to have an exciting offense, and we're going to have a good defense. And I don't know a lot about the punter yet. I really just don't know. I haven't studied him that well, but the placement kicker, it looks like, has got a really, really good outlook. And we've got a great chance to be in every ball game, and I think we're going to have a good chance to win, have an opportunity to to win against anybody we play.
God.
That's what to look forward to for Tennessee people, Tennessee supporters, that is. I never use the word fans very much, but
right.
There are a lot of loyal fans. So shut up, John Majors, and let Mike, let Tony
well,
go talk to some people to hey. Really tell him what's going on.
Hey, Coach Majors, one final thought on the way out. Today, when you picked that golf club up, post-surgery, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. I'm glad to hear you did that so you can continue to enjoy your days. Those surgeries are amazing that they have today. And the recovery's not as bad as it once was. It's still difficult, but it's not like it used to be. Coach, when you get that club in your hand today, you think about that Medley kid. I know you love kickers. And the way he followed through on that 55-yarder, when you get that wedge in your hand today, or that three wood, you hit that ball like he did, and you'll have no problems out there. You got to follow Coach.
I understand that. Oh, yeah. Hey, I had that 7 weeks ago today, and I was walking on my own in 3 weeks and driving in 3 weeks and started hitting golf balls the next week. Unfortunately, I've been a pretty fast recoverer. But I better not be too braggart. I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about I've been very fortunate. I made that preface my remarks, but knowing I'm very lucky and a very fortunate person to have a lot of support through the years, and go Volunteers.
Coach, I love you. I love you, love you, love you. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Johnny Majors.